All right, everyone, welcome back for another deep dive. Today we're tackling a pretty big topic. It's called Creating a Conscious Culture. It's a special report, actually. It's in four parts from the Great Awakening report, just from skimming it. I have to say, I'm really fascinated by the mix of personal growth stuff and how that ties into societal change. But I'll admit, it's also a little overwhelming. So to help us unpack all of this, we have our expert here with us today. So what were your first impressions when you took a look at this?
You know what really jumped out at me was that this report really seems to be speaking directly to what it calls truth seekers. It's like it's not just presenting a bunch of information, it's assuming that the listener is already on this path of, self-discovery and growth.
I see. That makes total sense. It explains why they're so bold about, talking about things like frequency alignments. Like they're speaking to an audience who's already exploring these kinds of concepts. But for our listeners who are maybe newer to all of this, let's back up a bit. How does this report even define conscious culture to begin with?
So it's not like a simple one-liner definition. It's more like a weaving together of different elements. Mindfulness is a big one, and not just as like a personal practice, but as something that impacts how a whole society operates. And then there's the idea of shared values, and not values that are imposed, but ones that come from this kind of collective awareness.
Okay, so it's not about everyone thinking exactly the same way, but more about a shared commitment to well-being, both for individuals and the group as a whole.
Exactly. And that's where things get really interesting because the report talks about this win-win-win philosophy and how it's crucial for making all of this work. It's not enough for just individuals to benefit or even just communities. A true conscious culture has to create positive outcomes on all levels of society.
Okay, I like that. So give me an example. How does this win-win-win actually play out in real life?
Sure. So let's say someone starts practicing mindfulness, and because of that, they become more patient and understanding in their relationships. That's a win for the individual, right?
Yeah, okay, I can see that, but how does that become a win for the community?
Well, now imagine that person bringing that patience and understanding to their interactions with their neighbors, at work, with their family. Everything becomes more harmonious. Conflicts are resolved more easily. That's a win for the community.
And then I'm guessing the final win, the one for society at large, is like this ripple effect.
Exactly. You got it. If enough people are cultivating this inner awareness and communities become more harmonious, it can lead to more cooperation and compassion. At the societal level, we start to see a shift towards systems and structures that put everyone's well-being first.
I see how those wins build upon each other. It's ambitious, but I can see how the report makes a case for it. Something else that really stood out to me was this idea of a heart of a volunteer. It seems pretty central to their whole vision of conscious culture.
Absolutely. And it ties directly into that win-win-win philosophy. The report argues that true fulfillment, which is a key part of individual well-being, comes from helping others. It's not just about donating money, it's about embodying a spirit of service, giving back to your community, uplifting those around you.
So it's about going from a me focus to a we focus.
Exactly. It's a fundamental shift in perspective. The report suggests that when we act with compassion and generosity, it raises the energy of everyone involved. It's not just feel-good stuff. It's about actively creating a reality based on connection and love instead of competition and scarcity.
I get that, and it really resonates with me, but it also feels like a really big ask. Wouldn't this require most people to change in a pretty major way? Where do we even begin to cultivate this heart of a volunteer?
That's where the report gets into the personal development side of things. It puts a lot of emphasis on personal awakening and spiritual mastery as essential steps in building a conscious culture.
Now, those terms can mean so many different things to different people. How does this report approach them?
It's presented as a process of deprogramming, like shedding those limiting beliefs and conditioning we've picked up from society. We're encouraged to face our inner shadows, those parts of ourselves we tend to hide or deny. It's not about becoming perfect, but about expanding our awareness of who we truly are.
Okay, so it's about self-discovery and doing that inner work. But how does that connect to building a more conscious society?
It's the foundation, the report argues, that we can't create a just and compassionate world if we haven't done the work to heal and transform ourselves first. The more we embody these qualities individually, the more they ripple outward into our relationships, our communities, and eventually the world as a whole.
That's a pretty powerful thought. So basically, building a conscious culture starts with each of us doing our own inner work.
Exactly, and it's an ongoing journey, not a destination. This report is just the first step, offering a glimpse into what's possible when we commit to personal and collective transformation. So, You know, this report is interesting because it really connects like personal transformation to societal change. You know, it goes into some pretty out there concepts, you know, like universal laws, heart-centered, living conscious manifestation. And it's saying that like understanding these is really key to creating a conscious culture.
Okay. I'm definitely intrigued, but I'm also a bit lost, to be honest. Let's break it down like one by one, starting with these universal laws. What are they exactly, and how do they apply to this whole thing?
Think of them as like underlying principles that govern reality, like the law of gravity,
Yeah.
you know, but applied to like energy and consciousness. The report focuses a lot on laws like vibration, attraction, interconnectedness.
So instead of physical stuff, it's more like these laws govern how our thoughts, emotions, and actions interact and actually create our reality.
Exactly. And, you know, for example, the law of vibration suggests that everything's vibrating at a certain frequency, and these frequencies, you know, they influence each other. And that ties back to the whole frequency alignment with purpose idea we talked about earlier.
Right. Okay. So if I'm getting this right, aligning my frequency with my purpose would mean like raising my vibration to match the energy of my goals. But how do I actually do that?
Well, the report suggests things like meditation gratitude, positive affirmations, you know, those can help raise your vibration. And it stresses that it's important to align our actions with our values when we live authentically and go after what really matters to us. You know, it naturally raises our vibration and we start attracting experiences that match our purpose.
Okay, I can see that. So it's about being intentional with our thoughts, emotions, and actions. But what about this law of attraction thing? Isn't that just like wishful thinking?
Yeah, the report acknowledges that the law of attraction has been like oversimplified and misunderstood a lot. It's not just wishing for something and it magically appears. It's more about aligning our energy with what we want to attract.
So it's not about forcing things into existence, it's more about becoming a vibrational match for the things we want.
Exactly. It's about cultivating that inner state of being that aligns with our desires and then trusting that the universe will make things happen to bring them into reality.
I can see how that ties into conscious manifestation. But I have to admit, I'm still a little skeptical. What kind of evidence does the report give to back up these ideas?
It doesn't really get into scientific studies or traditional research. It's more drawing on ancient wisdom traditions, spiritual teachings, personal stories from people who have experienced these principles in their lives.
So it's less about like hard proof and more about personal experience and intuitive understanding.
Exactly. And that's where the report encourages the reader to like engage with the material from a place of openness and curiosity rather than looking for like definitive answers. It's encouraging us to explore these concepts for ourselves and see what resonates, you know, what feels true based on our own experiences.
Fair enough. It's definitely pushing the boundaries of conventional thinking. Now let's shift gears a bit and talk about heart-centered living. What does that actually mean in practice?
This is where the report gets into the importance of emotions like love, compassion, forgiveness. It's about moving from a fear-based mindset to one that's rooted in love and connection.
I'm all for love and compassion, but how do we actually make that shift, you know, in a world that often feels so chaotic and uncertain?
Well, it starts with cultivating these qualities within ourselves. The report talks about practices like loving kindness, meditation, forgiveness exercises, conscious acts of kindness. You know, it's about training our minds and hearts to respond to challenges with compassion instead of fear or anger.
So it's about making that conscious choice to choose love over fear, even when things are tough.
Precisely. It's an ongoing practice, not a quick fix. And the more we live this way, you know, the more we radiate that energy outward, it influences those around us and it starts to contribute to a collective shift toward a more heart-centered world.
That's a really beautiful vision, but it also sounds like a lot of inner work.
Yeah.
What about the practical stuff, you know, like work relationships, building communities? How does the report address those aspects of conscious culture?
The idea is that as our consciousness expands, those areas of life will naturally transform too. For example, it talks about a shift in work culture from being solely focused on profit and productivity to being more purpose-driven and valuing the well-being of employees.
So it's about aligning our work with our values and making a positive impact through our careers.
Exactly. And it emphasizes conscious relationships, you know, where authenticity, emotional intelligence, spiritual alignment are all key. It's about connecting with people who share our values and support our growth.
Okay. I can see how those principles fit with the whole conscious awareness theme. But what about the bigger picture, like building communities? Does the report offer any concrete suggestions for creating more conscious communities?
Yeah, it suggests that as we move away from centralized systems, you know, self-sustaining conscious communities are going to become more and more important. These communities would focus on healing, education, sovereignty, spiritual connection.
So it's about creating intentional communities where people can live in alignment with their values and really support each other?
Exactly. The report envisions these communities being decentralized, self-sufficient, and focused on living in harmony with nature and each other. It's a bold vision, but it's something that a lot of people are already working towards.
That's inspiring. But
Yeah.
let's be real for a second. Wouldn't creating these kinds of communities require a huge shift in how most people think and behave?
Absolutely. The report acknowledges that it's a challenging path, but it's also becoming more and more necessary as the old systems, kind of crumble. It emphasizes personal responsibility, self-empowerment, and a willingness to let go of those outdated ways of thinking.
So it's not about waiting for someone else to create a better world. It's about actively participating in creating it ourselves.
Exactly. It's about stepping into our power as conscious co-creators of our reality. The report challenges us to ask, what kind of world do we want to live in, and what role can we play in making that happen?
That's a really powerful question, and it brings us to another key element of conscious culture, healing, and personal growth.
Yeah.
How does the report frame the inner work that's needed to fully embrace this new way of being?
It emphasizes that this shift requires deep inner work, confronting our shadows, healing our wounds, breaking free from limiting beliefs and fear-based conditioning.
Okay, that sounds pretty intense, but I can see how it's necessary if we want to create a world based on love and compassion.
Exactly. The report reminds us that we can't give what we don't have if we want to experience genuine connection and wholeness in our relationships and communities. We need to cultivate those qualities within ourselves first.
So it's that classic idea of becoming the change we want to see in the world.
Exactly. And it's not about reaching some perfect state of enlightenment. It's about recognizing that we're all works in progress, constantly evolving and expanding our consciousness.
That's a relief sometimes. The idea of spiritual mastery can feel really intimidating.
I agree. And the report stresses that it's a journey, not a destination. It's about taking small steps every day to cultivate more awareness, compassion, integrity.
Okay, I'm feeling encouraged. So where do we start? What specific practices does the report suggest for getting on this path of healing and growth?
It mentions a bunch of things like shadow work, emotional healing, overcoming fear-based programming.
Okay, those are some loaded terms. Let's break those down one by one, starting with shadow work. What is that exactly?
It's about acknowledging and integrating those hidden parts of ourselves that we tend to repress or deny. The report suggests things like journaling meditation, working with a therapist to bring those shadow aspects into the light and heal them.
Okay, I see how that would be important for becoming a more authentic and integrated person. But what about emotional healing?
That's about addressing past traumas or unresolved emotional wounds that might be holding us back from our full potential. The report emphasizes finding healthy ways to process and release those emotions, whether it's through therapy, energy healing, or other methods.
So it's about acknowledging and dealing with the emotional baggage we might be carrying around.
Exactly. And this ties into overcoming fear-based programming. The report suggests that we're often conditioned to live in a state of fear, whether it's fear of failure, rejection, or scarcity.
I can totally relate to that. It feels like we're constantly bombarded with messages that try to make us feel afraid and insecure.
Exactly. And the report challenges us to become aware of those messages and to consciously choose thoughts and beliefs that empower us instead of limiting us.
So it's about taking back control of our minds and reclaiming our power.
Precisely. It's about recognizing that we have the power to choose our thoughts, beliefs, and actions. And as we do that, the report says we start to unlock our true potential and activate our divine nature.
Whoa, okay, that's a big statement. What does the report mean by activating our divine nature?
This is where things get really interesting. The report suggests that our DNA actually holds the blueprint for higher consciousness, and we can awaken these dormant strands of DNA through different practices.
Okay, now you're really pushing the limits of my understanding. What kind of practices are we talking about here?
It mentions things like detoxification, high-frequency meditation, light codes, sound healing.
Okay, I'm gonna need you to break that down for me. What are light codes and sound healing?
Light codes are thought to be like energetic transmissions of information that can activate those dormant parts of our DNA. And sound healing uses specific frequencies and vibrations to clear blockages and restore harmony in our energy field.
So these practices are about working with subtle energies to activate our potential and expand our consciousness.
Exactly. And the report says that as we activate our divine nature, we start to experience multidimensional awareness.
Okay, now I'm really lost. What in the world is multidimensional awareness?
It's about recognizing that reality goes beyond just the physical world and linear time. The report says that we can actually perceive and interact with other dimensions and realms of existence.
So it's like tapping into a whole other level of reality.
Exactly. And the report suggests that this multidimensional awareness allows us to access higher guidance, connect with our soul's purpose, and experience a deeper sense of unity and interconnectedness.
Wow, that's pretty mind-blowing, but also kind of overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
How do we even start to cultivate that multidimensional awareness?
Well, the report suggests practices like strengthening our intuition, practicing quantum consciousness techniques, engaging in astral travel or dream work.
Okay, those are some pretty advanced concepts. It sounds like we need a whole other deep dive just to unpack those.
You're right, but the main takeaway here is that we're capable of so much more than we realize. The report is inviting us to explore these possibilities with an open mind and a sense of adventure.
I love that it's like we're being given a glimpse into a whole new world of potential. But with all this talk about expanding our consciousness and exploring other dimensions, how do we stay grounded and protected in the midst of all this energetic transformation?
That's a crucial point. The report emphasizes energetic protection and keeping a high vibrational frequency. It's about being mindful of the energies we surround ourselves with and taking steps to protect our energy field.
So it's like we're venturing into a more powerful energetic landscape, and right, we need to be prepared.
Exactly. The report suggests things like auric shielding, sound healing, grounding in nature, avoiding toxic environments, you know, as ways to protect our energy and stay at a high vibration.
So it's like practicing energetic hygiene, just like we practice physical hygiene.
Exactly. And it's especially important as we go deeper into these practices and open ourselves up to new realms of consciousness. The report reminds us that there are both positive and negative energies out there, and we need to be careful about what energies we let into our field.
Okay, that makes sense. Like, we need to develop our energetic immune system as we expand our consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
This is all incredibly fascinating, but I have to say, it's a lot to take in.
I understand it's a lot to process, but remember, this report is an invitation, not a rule book. It's about empowering us with knowledge and tools to navigate this shift towards a more conscious world. We can choose what resonates with us and take it one step at a time.
Okay, that's reassuring. It's like we're being given a map, but we get to choose our own pace and path. So what does this all mean for us as individuals? What's the main message from this part of the report?
I think the report is saying that we're not just passive observers of this shift towards a conscious culture. We're active participants, co-creators of this new paradigm. The choices we make, the actions we take, the energy we cultivate, all contribute to shaping the world around us.
So it's a call to action, a reminder that we have the power to make a difference.
Absolutely. It's an invitation to step into our full potential, embrace our divine nature, and help create a world that reflects our highest visions and aspirations.
Wow, that's really powerful. I'm feeling inspired and a little bit terrified at the same time.
That's understandable. It's a big shift, but it's also incredibly exciting. And remember, we're not alone in this. There's a growing community of people all over the world who are waking up to these truths and working together to create a more conscious and harmonious future.
That's comforting to know. It's like we're all in this together, figuring it out as we go. Well, the second part of the report has been quite a journey. We've explored some pretty mind-bending concepts.
We certainly have, but I think it's important to remember that this is just the beginning. The report has two more parts that delve even deeper into these topics, you know, exploring everything from conscious relationships and communities to the future of work and technology.
Okay, I can't wait to dive into those. Thanks for guiding us through this fascinating material. And to our listeners, thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of conscious culture. Remember, the future isn't something that happens to us. It's something we create. Mm. So let's get out there and co-create a world that is truly conscious, compassionate, and aligned with our highest potential.
Wow. Okay, so we've covered a ton of ground in this deep dive, you know, from defining conscious culture to all the personal growth stuff that goes along with it. My head is kind of spinning right now.
Yeah, it's a lot to take in for sure. But what's standing out to you so far? Anything really resonating or maybe something you're struggling with? I think for me, that heart of a volunteer idea really hit home. It feels so central to the whole thing. Like, we can talk about all these universal laws and higher consciousness, but if we don't have that genuine desire to help others, it almost feels kind of empty. You know what I mean?
That's a really insightful point. And I think the report would agree with you. It's not just about understanding these concepts intellectually.
Mm-hmm.
It's about embodying them. And compassionate action is where that really comes through.
Right, exactly. But the report also talks a lot about relationships, and not just romantic ones, but, you know, family friendships, even how we interact with strangers. How does that all fit in?
Well, think about it like this. As we're doing all this inner work, you know, getting rid of old patterns, becoming more conscious, the people we choose to surround ourselves with really matters.
So it's not enough to just meditate and do shadow work on our own.
Mm.
our relationships can either help or hinder our growth.
Exactly. The report talks about conscious relationships being built on things like authenticity, emotional intelligence, spiritual alignment. It's about going deeper than just surface level connections and finding relationships that support both people's journeys.
Okay. That makes sense for existing relationships.
Yeah.
But the report also talks about the future of work and whole communities changing. That feels almost impossibly huge.
It's a big vision for sure. But look around, you know, we're already seeing trends like remote work, ethical businesses, people craving deeper connection. The report is saying this isn't just a fad, it's a sign of consciousness evolving.
So instead of trying to force change from the top down, we're seeing these little pockets of conscious culture popping up organically.
Exactly. And the idea is that as more people start living by these principles, these pockets will grow and eventually influence the systems around them.
I'm starting to see how it all ties together.
Yeah.
Okay, one last thing that I keep thinking about is, technology, it can be such a powerful force for good or bad. How does the report address technology in a conscious world?
It's not about rejecting technology altogether. It's more about being mindful of how we use it. The report highlights how technology can be used to solve problems, connect people, even enhance our consciousness. But
it's also a warning about the downsides, right? Like surveillance manipulation, losing genuine human connection.
Exactly. It's a call to be more discerning about how we use technology. You know, supporting innovations that empower people, but being cautious of things that control us or distract us from our true potential.
Okay, wow. So much to think about for our listeners who might be feeling a bit overwhelmed by all of this. What's the one key takeaway they should remember?
I think the most important thing to remember is that building a conscious culture isn't about becoming perfect or changing the world overnight. It starts with small conscious choices in our everyday lives, how we treat ourselves, how we treat others, how we treat the planet. These choices have a ripple effect, and together they shape the future.
I love that. Thanks for helping us unpack this really dense but inspiring report. I have to say I'm feeling challenged, but also really hopeful. And to everyone listening, keep exploring, keep questioning, and most importantly, keep growing. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of conscious culture. We'll catch you next time.